Welcome to Below the Frame. I am Matt Vogel. We were talking last episode about Kermit the Frog at the Luck Reunion, which is takes place at Willie Nelson's Ranch, just outside of Austin, Texas. And Kermit was invited there to sing Rainbow Connection with Willie Nelson. And we, in our last episode, we talked all about kind of like how we got to the Luck Ranch and the lead up of the day before and the rehearsal. So if you didn't hear that, please go back and take a listen to that. And so today, we are starting with the day of the show. The show start. The festival started at 11 a.m. By the way, this whole festival takes place at the Luck Ranch, which is where Willie Nelson, where he lives, and the part where the festival is staged. There are a bunch of different. Well, it's like an old West town, right? There's like an old West town that was there from a movie called Redheaded Stranger from like early '70s, 1973 or something. And what I heard was that in the movie Redheaded Stranger, the town burns down. Well, Willie, this is what I heard. I don't know if this is true. I'm sure it's Googleable. Willie said, I don't want to burn the town down. I want to keep it on the ranch. So they changed the ending of the movie to accommodate so that everything could stay there. And there's like a chapel. There's a saloon. There's a barn. There's a bank.
Yeah.
A bunch of other little... it's like an old West town, and everything is like, so they did. They had performers in the chapel. They had performers in the saloon. They had this barn stage, which was awesome. They had
the other thing is every one of these venues is strikingly intimate. I mean, some of these fit no more than like 50 people.
Yeah, the chapel was super small.
The chapel was tiny, and I think John Oates performed in there.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild. And then there's another one that's like 150 people, maybe, and then like a 75, and then just like a regular tent. Like, there was one little tiny, tiny tent that fit maybe 30 people, maybe, like outside right next to another one. I don't know if this was like way at the edge. And I was just so shocked. I was like, this is incredible that this festival is so intimate. Like, no matter what performer you want to see, this is because that's one of my things with concerts. Like, I don't really want to sit in the back of an arena to see Bruno Mars through a telescope, maybe. But like, I mean, I would do that for certain people. But
you said Bruno Mars, you didn't.
But I would never give my money to Bruno Mars. Oh.
He's listening. He's
probably
listening.
Oh, I forgot. Right now.
He's a huge donor for this podcast.
You're right. You're right. The spaces are really intimate. It was really cool. And I think that maybe, I think I heard the number 4,000, that there were 4,000 people there.
Yeah, they cap it off with the tickets, and that's that. 3,500, and then there's a 500 window, I guess.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we arrived. I went a little bit earlier because I had a problem with my belt. I had a Muppet Show belt buckle that broke. And it's this really cool Muppet Show belt that I have, and it has a Muppet Show belt buckle, and I wanted to wear that. And so Dan, who I mentioned earlier, said, well, come out here. We'll see if we can find somebody to fix the belt. We didn't find anybody that was able to fix the belt, but that's okay. Jürgen Ferguson, our wonderful wrangler.
Oh, yeah, Jürgen.
Who traveled with us. Fixed my belt for the night. Temporary fix, but it worked. It worked as if it was a real belt. I just couldn't take it off or it would have been like done. You know, I wouldn't have been able to put it back together. It was awesome. And Jürgen, I throw huge respect and props to Jürgen for helping us out. Not only did he fix my belt, but he also made sure that Kermit was ready, that the banjo was all set on him, that he was properly fixed to the stool that we had him on. He made sure Kermit got on and off stage. He's awesome. And I always,
that was my first time.
Jürgen.
Something I'd heard about the wranglers and different things like that and handlers. And I never got to see what all that entailed. I knew it was a lot. And I'd listened to a very popular podcast that talked about it. Even interviewed a lot of
popular, but
those. Yeah. And, but to see how much, how efficient and fast, quick thinking and just simple, it makes it all to look perfect. So much goes into it. People have no idea what goes into that part of it. And so it was really, really special to see. And everything that you guys did when we were to watch you bring, both of you bring Kermit to life was mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's and you know, all of our wranglers, they're just, they are artists and they're amazing, and we're so lucky to have them as part of our crew.
I couldn't agree more. I think, and when you have, and luckily we work with some really amazing wranglers, not just amazing wranglers, but they're also just amazing people, and they're fun to hang out with and sit around with and joke with, and they become so like a part of your family because they are, and nobody knows what wranglers do until they watch the wranglers do what they do, because you assume, oh, it's puppets. How much work can be done on a sock? Oh, they ripped a seam open. Like, it's not that. There is so much more. Like, just Kermit, somebody pitches, right? Kermit is going to be sitting on a stool with the banjo. Okay, cool. In whose head does that sound complex? Well, for one thing, Kermit has to have a man attached to him often. And is that a good way to put it?
What?
Yeah, sure.
And so there has it has to be a special stool. And so the stool has to have, you know, the hole so the performer can get inside. And then it has to have a special black sleeve so you don't have the green sleeve that's coming out from the bottom. The stool has to be a specific height. Kermit has to be sort of attached in so that he's not, like, his whole body isn't just shifting like a Chuck E. Cheese animatronic on the chair. and he can just, like, sit still. And then the banjo has to be fixed up to him. And it can't just be, like, thrown over his shoulders because he has, as Ernie would say, he's got no shoulders. And so you have to then, like, put the strap around, and then you have to strap the banjo in and make sure it's in the perfect position. Then you have to position the fingers, and you have to put the rods in, and they have to be specific kinds of rods. They have to be the right length. So then they have to go in and cut. All of this has to happen in so much. I'm saying all these things, right? But it doesn't just take that specific amount of time that I'm saying it. It's not simple at all. And that's just the overview of what goes into somebody saying, Kermit sits on a stool playing banjo.
Yeah. And our,
well, and then whenever I had my,
yeah,
when I was holding my banjo, you're going to be like, at first I thought he was just messing with me. And he's like, what's that do? Mm-hmm. But he was really like calculating and adding to his data base in his brain, his amazing brain.
How does,
like,
this translate to puppets?
That's right. And that's what, this isn't a decoration. This is something. And oh, okay. So this is why he would hold it like that. And how should the fingers look? And what kind of, it was great.
Yeah. Yeah. There were so many great people at the Luck reunion. We had a great lunch that was catered by Tate Ranch. You guys remember Evan?
Oh, yeah.
Cowboy hat.
Oh, cool, yeah,
guy,
man.
Smiley, cool, friendly guy. Yeah. So
what a
awesome
gentleman. He was such
so great.
Gentleman.
He was a gentleman. Yes.
I remember him shaking Kelly's hand, and he took his hat off, and I was like, oh.
Thing. He's a gentleman. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, he was great. And then we had and we got to see Evan a couple of times during the time that we were there. We went back, way after the show, really late after the show. And they had like after show pizzas and a little steak and things like that they kind of just kept bringing out for everybody. It was just, he and his team were awesome, and we got a picture with Kermit and him, and it was a lot of fun. There was a guy named Joseph Wyman there. He did the tin types. So they had this set up for the artists in this artist area, which is where the catering was and Evan and his group were. But this guy, Joseph, had tin types set up, like authentic tin types. I will not even do it justice by telling you the process, but it's like literally chemicals, light, tin, and you've got a picture somehow. It's an amazing thing. So they had it set up for the artists.
The old school way of taking it is. Like the old school.
Yeah. It was so cool. You would be able to get, unfortunately, we didn't get over there. All the artists had kind of taken up the slots, and so we didn't get to go over there. But we did have a special setup with Willie and Kermit. And Joseph brought his stuff over to buy the stage, and at a certain time, Willie was going to kind of walk in. We were going to sit and take a tin type. And in the lead up for all of that, Lucas, I believe you got a tin type taken, just kind of like ready as if you were
just right happened there. To need to sit in. And
yeah,
I guess I looked enough like Willie.
Yeah. And
my first picture with Kermit was on a tin type.
Oh, that's
my
first official.
That's
pretty cool.
That's amazing.
I don't know if they're going to. They said they're going to send it to me.
He's going to be sending it.
And then Bradley, you had one. as well.
I also had one. Yeah, mine was the test one just to see if the whole setup would work. He said, would you like to be my test photo? I was like, yes, of course. Because I really wanted to go over and, you know, do a slot. I actually wanted to get one myself. He's like, here's it's, and it's on me and it's good and you're good to go.
It's so
I was
cool.
Like, dude, this is so cool. I looked
at you got to use that. Awesome. I saw your picture. You've got to use that when you get it as your artist picture for anything.
Yeah, that's just my new headshot on metal with my resume on the back engraved.
Clink.
Yeah. And, so he and his team were amazing. And, you know, again, Willie's wife, Annie, she came over again and with Willie. So wonderful. So we got to do the show. We got to do our moment, Rainbow Connection. So, Lucas, walk us through from your perspective. Some maybe, you know, the idea was, if I remember, we were the top of Willie's set. So before Willie comes out, we have to come out and kind of preset ourselves then. Yeah. And we're kind of in darkness, but kind of not in darkness. But Kermit is covered, so people can't see what's going on, really.
And still have no idea. It's
still no idea.
Slowly,
right.
A couple of little eyes have caught that Kermit. And I heard a girl once say, he's a special guest. Oh my gosh, Kermit's gonna be the special guest. And your sister-in-law, or I believe your brother and his wife were partner were next to me, and we both looked at each other like, we're supposed to keep. So I turned around to them and I said, listen, keep the surprise, because it's gonna be really special. They're like, oh, we promise. And they were so, it was so cool. So that the idea was, it turned into complete darkness. You're gonna hear the banjo riff. Mm-hmm. Say, I did it.
You did it.
I've learned it.
You did it.
Can we go back and do it again?
It only took 55 minutes.
And then the audience would hear that, and then the lights would come up, and boom, there's Kermit sitting next to Willie, blow everybody away. And so that was the idea. And so we were all kind of, that's where it came down to, is like, is it going to be lights up and then banjo? Is it going to be banjo and then lights? Is it going to be banjo and lights? No banjo? Is Lucas out of here? Kick him out. And so we finally, I talked with Michael, and so we kind of all were all in agreement of it. And then as I was getting in place, I was thinking, like, I wonder if the sound guys know what's going on. I mean, you just kind of assume everybody know, or like we're finding out later. And not to say, it's just kind of the way it goes. And this their set is so laid back and structured with how they do it. I said to them, I was like, do you know that you're going to hear the banjo before the lights come up? And he's like, oh, no. Okay, because I'm going to have you unmuted, because I'm playing too. So I don't have a plug-in. My banjo, to sound organically like a banjo, and especially like Kermit's, I'm playing to like just a microphone that's there aimed at my banjo, which meant, and this is very important, no other sound could be happening in that booth or it would go out. Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, I'm going to tell him to unmute you right at this moment, but it's going to be like, he had a phone, like a hard, looked like a landline connected to the booth. He's like, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to say, go audio. We can't talk. You're going to play. And then they'll turn the lights on, I guess. And so I'm thinking about all this stuff. Now, here's one thing that I didn't think about till after this was all over with. Did anybody tell Willie any of this stuff?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'll hold what happened next to me and let you guys tell your thing and then what happened it started to happen.
Yeah, so we're getting in our position, right? And Bradley's there in front of me, and I am...
It's happening fast.
You're kind of facing me. So just so, like...
I'm kind of Kermit's curtain.
You were standing. That's right. Yeah. I'm seated. I've got my hand inside the puppet. Jürgen is just upstage of Kermit. You are downstage of Kermit. You're kind of acting as a block, as a blind...
And really, my goal was soon as Jürgen pulls, lifts off the covering and jumps into the booth to hide, that's when I'm supposed to start playing.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was going to trigger that. Then that was going to trigger the light. That was going to trigger everything.
Yeah. So Willie comes out. And, of course, everybody goes crazy because it's Willie Nelson.
Yeah. And already tells him.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the lights did come on him. And he, when, why wouldn't they? Because it's Willie Nelson. He grabs Trigger.
Jürgen took the bag off of Willie.
Yeah. And everybody knew it was him. He grabs Trigger and he comes to his seat, you know, and he's waving to everybody and the crowd's just going crazy. And when Willie sits down, I feel that's when the bag kind of came off of Kermit and Jürgen hit, you know, ran for the hills or ran for the audio booth. And then you sat down. And Kermit's still in darkness, I believe. That's all I have. Bradley, do you have anything to add to that moment before?
The rest of it's kind of a blur for me.
Well, I did notice that my mic was suddenly live because I go, I'm in. And I could hear it go, I'm in. Like, okay.
And I think I remember it was like, I'm in. And I was like, you're live. I think I can get your mic's on.
I got it. Yeah, it's so weird because we're on monitors and you don't know what's going out versus your, you know, because this is something we couldn't rehearse, you know, we couldn't practice this. And so, well, split second, right before I'm getting ready to play, Willie goes, y'all see Kermit? To the audience, like, hey, are they going to turn the light on?
Because there was like, no light on yet. Yeah.
It worked out so genuine and perfect. But
well, even having Willie Nelson go, y'all see Kermit? I mean, that's
very
amazing.
Right.
Very much in the spirit of Willie Nelson, that it's all just sort of going by the, like, nobody was in a bad mood, nobody was panicking. No. It was just like, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. And to back a little bit up, to watch Willie look at Kermit and to see him smile and to see his eyes and mouth. And that was cool from my perspective when we were on the porch and I was watching in one shot, Matt, I could see you, Kermit, and Willie. And that's the only time I dropped out. And I'm glad it happened in the rehearsal, not during the actual performance. I just kind of forgot what I was doing and that, I have to keep going here. I just started watching Willie and Kermit have this moment. And then the thing that Willie kept doing is kept sticking his finger in Kermit's mouth when we were practicing. He didn't do it during the performance.
He couldn't reach him. He couldn't reach him. We made sure he couldn't reach him.
It was like a child, so you know, so excited to see.
He was just playful and funny. It was just funny.
And also just a quick weird puppeteer side note. That is like one of the universal things that people do with puppets when they see them. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the urge is. But adults, children, whoever, if you're like a playful person and you just want to have fun, it doesn't matter who you are, everyone just puts their finger in the puppet's mouth. And then sometimes you'll just give them a quick, and then they're satisfied. That's it. Like sometimes it's just like, and then it's like, all right, no more. And okay, my turn. And then like you try to do that. And then that's what I usually do.
I usually kind of go, like I'm gagging. Yeah. I think that's
great.
So you were getting ready to go. And what happened, Lucas?
Well, so initially I was supposed to start. Kermit's sustained that you know, pregnant pause to open when you hear the strumming. And then Micah, Willie's son, who was right beside him on guitar, he was going to be accompanying the whole thing, was going to join. And as it started and went into it, I was so focused on watching you guys, I wasn't really noticing what else was happening. And Micah's... I guess his plug-in, he wasn't connected and he had no audio. So the two gentlemen in the booth that were helping totally forgot that Kermit wasn't playing. This is how real it is, guys.
Okay.
They started arguing and forgot that the mic right next to us was live. And they even, I don't want to say if they happen to listen to this, it's not a bad thing, but they were like hitting each other, like, no.
They were hitting each other? Were they like...
He started talking to him and saying, his mic's on, the thing's not plugged in. He's like, fuck, his mic's live. And then I started watching them and...
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Matt, I've listened to it and I just like... fortunately, I sounded like I covered, but there's one moment when it was just Kermit that I didn't play it the way that I would have played it.
I did not notice it at all.
Fortunately, I got lucky because my brain... You know, you have muscle memory, and if you stop in the middle of muscle memory, you don't know how to start again. And I'm so fortunate that I found it again.
Wow.
And then eventually, so it ended up being just Kermit and the banjo and then Willie for quite a while.
Finally get Micah plugged in?
It turned on at such a perfect organic moment that it sounded planned.
That's great.
I'm just going to say that's how it meant to be.
Yeah, it is how it was meant to be.
But yeah, in my brain, I was just... But that's the one thing I didn't prepare for was the distraction of what was going to go on there.
I think that's the thing of it, though. I think that you can only plan so far, and then things are going to happen that are unexpected that you would never possibly think of. And Bradley, tell me if I'm like, you've had that experience too, where you can absolutely be prepared for everything that you can anticipate that's going to happen. And then seven things happen that you had no idea would happen,
yeah.
But because you were so prepared about the other things, you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you're a director. I think you know that biggest way. You can be as prepared as possible, and you just, this one thing that goes wrong, or we used up all three of the cookies that we had, or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, well, since everything is okay, you know, I've already used my brain power to figure this out beforehand. We can now just figure out this problem and move on from the other thing.
Yeah.
You can prepare for everything, but something's going to go wrong.
It was still so comfortable, though, even just like the rehearsal the day before. Yeah. And here we are playing for 4,000 people. It still was like, it was just okay. Everything was fine.
Yeah.
But there's really footage I think I shared with you guys. Aubrey filmed to have one whole shot of Willie, you guys, and me in the dark. And you can see the guys like pointing each other.
I didn't notice that. I had to go back and watch that.
Oh, yeah, it happened like three times. And finally, I was like, okay, I have to look past this and watch the frog. I just got to watch the frog.
Good job, Lucas. No, Bradley, how was it for you just sitting, you know, feet away from a legend, not...
And Willie Nelson?
yes, I meant Willie. How was it there in that moment? Like, were you ever able to kind of like take a look at him, or were you just so focused on what you were doing?
So I did something that I usually don't do, because there's moments between... Because there's been certain, like, we also did the Michael Bublé Christmas special, and it was really, really special. One, because it was Michael Bublé. Two, because it was Kermit. Three, because we filmed it at 30 Rock on the stage where SNL was shooting. And that one was much more simple, because I was right-handing for Kermit, but he wasn't playing any instruments, right? So it was a lot of, you know, sort of that right-hand autopilot thing where you go into sort of a zen mode and you just sort of get in tune with the performer, whatever's happening. So in those moments, you're able to sort of look at your surroundings a little bit more. And in that moment, I could really actually like look up at Kermit and look up at Michael and look over at the Grand Central Station clock that they have that, you know, goes up and down and look at, it was incredible. And then in this situation, it was a lot more involved. So I actually reminded myself in the middle of this opportunity where I was like, this is the one time in my life this is going to happen. We're not doing two shows. We're not doing. And so I reminded myself while I was playing in a moment where I think he was doing a solo and I knew the attention was on him. I took my eyes off of Kermit for a second and I just looked at Willie and I looked at Micah and I turned a little bit. I saw a bit of the crowd and then I just reminded myself to really take in that moment, because this specific thing is not going to happen again. And it is so, so special, so incredible that we get to be here and not just sit on stage and perform with Willie Nelson, but we get to perform with him in a moment that is also special to him. And it's special to his team, and it's special to the audience. And it's special to me, you know, this is really like, you know, being in a position where the Muppets call and say, hey, can you help out with Kermit? Again, growing up as a fan, just that on its own, right, is one level of baseline excitement. And then add to it that it's a legendary performance with a legendary performer is a whole other level of just special. And you have to sort of, for a moment, take yourself out of the work that's happening and just soak in that bit. And so looking over at Willie, I got to look over at him maybe two or three times. And just seeing him smiling so hard while staring at Kermit was so like fulfilling to be a part of that moment.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't just have to watch it. I actually got to be a part of it.
It was great. Really, I was kind of trying to figure out how to end this, and not what you were saying, because I thought it was great. But what I mean is like what were your reflections of that moment were, or what was your takeaway?
I mean, that was kind of it. I think I want to say that, like, there are so many things that we all get to. Everybody has, like, that one person that they know that gets them into the special thing that they know this other big fan would have been better. Like, you know, we had a friend who was really close with the Spurs, and we would get Spurs tickets all the time. So I'd go to all these NBA games. I'm not a sporty person. I don't know anything about this. But we had these great seats to these games. And I always felt so guilty, because I'm like, there are so many other people who would appreciate this so much more than me. Mm. But this is one of those situations where I know that I appreciate this a lot. And I feel like, you know, this is one of those situations where I'm so glad that I'm the person who gets to be here, because I am just as excited as I know so many other people are. and we can sort of share that with each other when we're able to tell these stories, is it's not just like, yeah, well, I got to help Karma with this thing, and you know, but the food was great, and like I'm excited about the ribs,
right?
But like this specifically is, it's so nice to be able to tell the story, because I am just as excited as the person who wants to hear about the story. So it feels really good to be able to be the person or one of the people who's enjoying that moment.
Lucas, what about you? Anything reflecting, looking back on it?
Overall, it's really anything that I've got to do with you, Matt, and with for Kermit, I've been like, if this is the last thing I get to do in entertainment or in whatever realm, this is it. Yeah. This, I'm satisfied, and it just continues to be icing on top of the. I mean, the cherry on top of that, and then something else. So now I'm just expecting more. Okay. So but the first time I ever heard Rainbow Connection, the first time I ever heard the banjo, I didn't know what the instrument was that was making that sound when I was a kid, and I loved it, and I remember trying to create it with my Kermit stuffed animal converted to a puppet, and so I never knew that the banjo would lead me to that. I saw Steve Martin in concert once, and my wife and I went, and I was like, I'm going to really learn. I'm going to spend a year, and it changed my life. And I didn't know that would lead me to getting to work with, when I was, you know, like a kid, you have these dreams of like, oh, man, how cool it'd be to get to work with the Muppets. That would be great. Getting to work directly with Kermit and to get to do something that's iconic about him is just mind blowing. So I really respect it. I don't take any of it for granted. And I know that's a lot of, you are up on a ladder, and Matt, you're always pulling people up. And you have this Jim Henson rock star mentality of like, let's do the thing. And like whenever the pandemic was going on and Steve Martin was playing banjo and doing these viral banjo videos, you emailed me and were like, should Kermit do this? Like, don't you think fans? I'm like, yeah, sure. Or I would like it. Just do it. And I didn't wrap my head around when you were asking me to provide the banjo track. And so I will never forget where I was. And you even told me too, and it's like, hey, if the powers that be decide that they don't move forward with this, then that's that. But either way, you'll know you at least did this once. And that was more than enough for me. So this has been really, really special. So I thank you and for all the encouragement and the legacy you're carrying on for Kermit's spirit. But I will say this, from the moment on that stage, because we didn't talk about this.
Here
you
comes.
Got to come back out
here
and you performed. You performed in the finale. Kermit came out, and so I got to go out on stage with you guys.
Yes, that's right.
Which people were like, "Who's this random banjo guy?" All of a sudden,
well,
so
that,
Kermit,
they knew.
You and Kermit are over my shoulder. We're there with Willie's daughter and her band.
Yep,
and we're doing
the gospel
this medley. And then he does. It's hard to be humble, and the irony of singing "It's Hard to Be Humble." Standing on stage with Willie Nelson and you and Kermit. And I, in that moment, I said, wow. And that's when my pick fell off my finger. And I wasn't really playing. And I told them, I was like, don't mic me because I don't really know. What if I did a wrong note? Whatever. Yeah. I'm just there to cover. And my pick just went tonk and rolled over right next to Willie's boot. And I thought, maybe nobody saw it. Oh, that's when two people saw it, Matt and Kermit.
Yeah.
And first Matt said, did you just drop a pick? And I'm like, oh, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
And then Kermit started whispering in my ear, that is so unprofessional. I've never dropped a pick in all the years of performing. And it just was such a genuinely joyful.
It's taped to his fingers. Now he can't.
I know. But it was such a joyful moment. You know, we could be in front of the you know, meeting royalty or whatever it is. We were with Willie.
Yeah.
And Kermit's jabbing me about dropping a pick. And it was so special. And I wrote it down. Like, I'm not a journaler, but I have been very, very adamant about writing down everything because I want to make sure I remember those moments. And my wife filmed it, and you can even see in the video, the pick falls off my finger and rolls, and then you're right in my ear. You dropped a pick, didn't you? I got it, though. I picked it back up.
Oh,
after
good.
Everybody cleared the stage, I walked over to Willie, and he was just smiling, looking at me, and I was like, hi, thank you.
You're good.
I don't know. Oh, I was scared, gosh, he was going to like step on it and fall. Like, what if I
well,
hurt
you
him?
You never know. I know. Those picks are crazy. They're like, yeah, no way. So that was great, too. So for me, I just have a couple of things. Professionally, of course, getting to sing Kermit's most famous song with a legend like Willie Nelson was a huge moment for me. And then on a personal note, I guess, well, and also professionally, everybody there was just so wonderful. Everyone from the top all the way down. And, you know, including Willie Nelson, his whole team, his family, his crew, his staff of Luck Reunion. It was just a joy to be there. And then personally, I like to bring Kelly with me when I can, but I rarely bring somebody else, unless it's like, a kid of mine, a son or a daughter or my wife. But I've had a couple of opportunities where I've gotten to bring another family member, and it was just really special to have my brother there with me because, as my brother reminded me, our dad was a huge Willie Nelson fan, which I did know, but Jason said, every time we'd go on a vacation, we'd get in the RV, and the first song our dad would play was On the Road Again, and that's when we knew that vacation had started. And I think this was it was emotional for me to be there and have my brother there, and I know that it was emotional for my brother to be there in this kind of situation, and we, like you said, Bradley, just being able to take a moment and really appreciate it, which I definitely did. I love doing those live appearances. They're so much fun, just doing the actual thing, but it's also really great when you meet wonderful people that are putting on a great show. I would say the same thing about the Newport Folk Festival. They're just amazing people there. Jay Sweet and his people are unbelievable. And here again with the Luck Reunion, I just had a great time. So Lucas Ross, Bradley Freeman Jr., thank you for joining me on Below the Frame today. I appreciate it. Let's do this again sometime. Maybe we'll talk about something else. I don't know what. But let's just talk about something else some other time. Who knows? Yeah. Will you join me again? I don't know.
Any ideas?
Yes.
Yeah. What would you like to talk about?
Well, we could just listen to me try to sing banjo parts again.
Oh, that'd be
do
awesome.
Do that for an hour?
Let's do that.
I'll be busy.
What
then.
Can you do? You can do some prop comedy, Brad.
I can do some.
What do you have
with my mind through the grinder?
There we go, salt.
And hopefully, wow, I can put together wonderful some stuff and mandarin. These it's hard to come up with these ideas. I feel like an absolute nut. Reeling my brain.
Wow.
But it's gonna. Oh, I got an idea. I think it's about
go
time
over
to
great on the audio conclude. Podcast. It's gonna be really great.
They can imagine anything they want. It's going to be so much funnier on there. <That's right. laughs> What I love about you, Matt, is you've always believed in me. That's one of my favorite
that's
things.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I know. Somebody has to pretend. Somebody has to pretend. Sorry about that.
That makes me feel good, too, because I remember telling Matt, Matt, there's lots of really good banjo players out there. And he said, but you sound like a puppet. And I'm like, that's it. That's my sound.
That's all you need to do, really, as far as I'm concerned.
Seriously, thank you for the opportunity, Matt. And thanks for letting us be on this podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is this the start of season 3?
It's going to be the start of season 3, and it's going to be just different. It's just going to be me talking to people or talking or just rambling on about something, like a specific topic.
It could just
topic.
Be us. We'll come it on every
be.
Episode.
Let's
we can come
it,
on
yeah.
again. We can be your co-hosts. Yeah.
That'd be fun,
We'll just really stretch this thing out.
But maybe, we can figure out what that would be. I would love to have you guys back just because I enjoy talking to both of you. And I also feel like we get kind of different perspectives on things. We have we're all kind of Uber fans, but I don't know if between Lucas and Bradley, I don't know who's the more of the Uber fan. Ooh, it's a tough one.
That is actually a good question.
It's a good question.
Know.
We may have
you
to
know
have
what?
That kind of thing.
That's the episode. Ooh, okay. It's the Muppet battle? Trivia. And see
who's
who wins.
Who's the Uber fan?
Okay. Who's the bigger Muppet fan?
Might want to brush up on it. That's a good idea. Okay. I'd have to come
that
up with some
good,
questions,
that's a fun
though.
One.
Oof. Okay. All right.
We can do that.
Anyway, that was Below the Frame with me, Matt Vogel. Thank you to my guests, Lucas Ross and Bradley Freeman Jr. for joining us. Below the Frame is a Welcome Matt production produced by me, Matt Vogel. The theme song was written by Stephanie DeBruzzo and myself and performed by my band, The Mighty Weaklings. Thanks to Dave Hultin at DaveHultinDesign.com, who created our podcast art. You can follow me on Instagram at WelcomeMattV or search Matt Vogel. I post things every now and again, and it'll help you know when new episodes of this podcast, for example, are coming out. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. If you are sharing podcasts, please let somebody know about this one. And also, if you have a few seconds, just rate and review this one. I'm sure that that pleases the podcast gods or something. You can find Below the Frame wherever you get your podcasts. And we are now a video podcast on YouTube, so you can see our faces if that's something that you want to do. I am Matt Vogel, and we will see you next time when we go Below the Frame. Go, go, go Below the Frame.